Father God, we pray that you would speak through Helen this evening, that your spirit would continue to inspire all that she shares with us. And we pray for ourselves that as we receive it, that we would take action where action is needed, that we would confess where confession is needed, that we would encourage one another where that is prompted. And that this would be for your glory and for your fame. Amen.
Good evening, and thank you very much for the privilege of speaking tonight on the missionary task. I'll start by praying for us. Lord, I pray that the words that come from my mouth will be yours and not my own, and that you will touch everyone here in the way that they need to meet with you. Amen. So I'm going to start by talking about what mission means to us, what it means to me, what it means to you, what the Baptist principles say mission is, and in this passage, what Jesus says mission is. And we'll talk a bit about application, hopefully along the way and at the end. Okay. So to start, I would like you to turn to someone next to you or behind you or in front of you or somewhere in the vicinity, and just for a couple of seconds, tell them what's the first thing that jumps into your head when you hear the word missionary. Anyone like to volunteer to share what they think it is? I didn't give you very long, did I? But just applauded. Anyone feeling enthusiastic? No.
Overseas.
Overseas. Go on. Safe. Okay. Right. So going overseas. Okay. So you're taking a journey and spreading the word. Yeah. Anyone add anything?
Sacrifice.
Excellent. Yes. Absolutely. So it could be more of a home mission, a local mission. Absolutely. Very good. You don't really need me. Could I have the picture up? Thank you. Okay. So when I think of the word missionary, I think of this nice lady standing here. Now, this lady is Sandra McGann, and she was born on the 30th of December, 1943. And I know this because my mum was born on the 31st. Of December 1943, and Sandra was her best friend. And they met at Elam Church in Huddersfield during their early teens, and they quickly became really good friends. And they did lots of things together, lots of firsts they had together. Their first trip abroad was with the church. They went to France, and my mum loves to tell people how Sandra had said, "Oh, I learnt French at school, I'll order for everyone." And then the waiter came, and not a single person got what they wanted. They had their 21st birthday party together, which was a Hogmanay party, so it was very, very good fun, I'm assured. And Sandra got married to Peter, who you can see up there. And 2 weeks later, when she got back from her honeymoon, she came to the wedding of my mum and my dad. But as so often happens, when men get in the way, unfortunately, the paths diverged a little bit. And in the early 70s, there was a call that went out to the Elam churches. They were going to establish a secondary school in the beautiful, stunning Vumba Mountains in what was then Rhodesia. And Sandra and Peter answered the call. Now, Peter was a lecturer in chemistry at the local university. And Sandra, like my mum, had left school at 14 without really any qualifications. So she went along and she taught life skills, like how to make a meal, how to sew a button on a shirt, the kind of stuff that you actually really need to know. And it was a really, really successful school. They had lots of local kids who had would never have had a chance of an education any other way coming along. And as the country became more and more difficult and life in Rhodesia became more and more tumultuous, the school was something of a place of safety. But of course, the war in Rhodesia at the time was based on a lot of the local people who were black, feeling aggrieved at the white people who had a relative amount of privilege. And of course, that didn't really include Sandra and Peter and her two kids, who you can see there, because they came and they served, but they were still white. So they kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, them and the rest of the missionaries. And one night, 40 years ago, so 1973, 78, and I think it was June 23rd. Some guerrillas and guerrilla warfare came and knocked on the missionaries' accommodation, and they took all 13 of them out, and the next day they were found dead. So when I think of a missionary, I don't feel very excited. I feel desperately sad. I don't like going to talks on mission. I don't like hearing about it. So you can imagine me thinking that God had a bit of a funny sense of humour when I got the rate there for preaching, and there I was. But it's all right, because Levi was on next week, and he'd probably swap with me, right? Because that would make way more sense. And Nathan had even said, if anyone has a subject and they think they want to speak on someone else, something else, just say, that's fine. But then God said, Nathan may have given you a way out, but I didn't. So please, please bear with me. So I'm going to read to you about what the Baptist principle says about mission. So it says, love mission, Matthew 28:19-20. Mission is at the heart of what it means to be a Baptist. For much of their history, Baptists have been committed to cross-cultural mission, seeking to reach countries and cultures other than their own with the gospel message. Baptist missionaries, such as Englishman William Carey, who went to India, began this work in 1792. Today, Baptists in countries all over the world send workers to other nations in order to share Christ. Baptists are also committed to mission in their own local communities. A very high priority is given to evangelism. Baptists want all men and women to hear the wonderful good news of personal salvation in and through Jesus Christ, and to respond in faith. Baptists also work for the social betterment of their communities. Recently, environmental issues have become increasingly important for many Baptists. I think that's a really, really good definition, because it covers the two bits that people said. Firstly, you might think about people going overseas, and then when you think a little bit more, you think about the mission that can happen around you and your local community. So very much alongside that, what does Jesus say about mission in the passage that we've read? So this is the first example, I think, in the New Testament of Jesus sending missionaries out. And there's some key principles in mission according to this passage. The first thing Jesus says to his disciples is, go and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. So it's not mission unless we're proclaiming of the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if anyone else likes that quote by Francis of Assisi that says, go and preach the gospel in all nations. If necessary, use words. And I have to say, I absolutely love that quote. I love the sentiment behind it. But I don't quite agree with it, because I think words are necessary. I think all of us know really nice people who are giving, considerate, and thoughtful. But actually, if they're not doing it for God, it's not mission. And if people don't know that God is behind it, then it's not mission. I have to say, I'm not going to go into my workplace tomorrow and announce that the kingdom of heaven is near. But there are other ways that we can tell people about it. And certainly, if anyone does do that, please do let me know how you get on. So secondly, the missionary task is about giving. Jesus is very clear, isn't he? He says, go. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And our perspective is quite different to the disciples, isn't it? You kind of think, well, you know, if I'd seen all the miracles that he'd done, that they saw, then absolutely no problem, I'd be away. But, you know, life's a bit different in 21st century Leeds. But then if you think about it a little bit more, we've all experienced giving from God. It may or may not be in such dramatic ways as are listed here, but we all know that we've received from God. And it's in that vein that we're called to give, and to give to those around us, to give of ourselves. Thirdly, the missionary task is immersive. It involves immersing yourself in those who need to hear the gospel. The disciples were told, go and stay with people. You know, don't look for an inn, don't keep yourself separate, go go, you'll find someone worthy who will take you in and you're to live with them. Sandra and Peter, when they heard the call, they didn't say, great plan, let's organise a distance learning module. Okay. Levi, when he was called to Japan, didn't say, okay, well, I'll email some people and I'll tell them about Jesus, because it doesn't work like that. We have to be immersed in the people that we're ministering to in our missionary task. And if we look at home mission, we could all say, well, I live on a street full of non-believers and I work in a place full of non-believers, so surely I'm already immersed in it. And I say, yes, that is right to a point. But if you live in a street full of non-believers and your door stays closed with you inside it, that doesn't really count as being immersed in the culture where you're performing the missionary task. And similarly, if at work your colleagues don't know about your faith, again, that doesn't really quite count as being immersed in those who you're ministering to as part of the ministry of the missionary task. So fourthly, Jesus warns his disciples that this is not going to be easy. It'll be difficult. There'll be consequences. It will hurt. He says to them, I am sending you like sheep amongst wolves. I'm not a sheep, but I don't really fancy going out amongst a lot of wolves. I fancy even less being flogged in synagogues. And he says, on account of me, you'll be brought before governors and kings. You'll be arrested. So this doesn't sound very good, does it? It doesn't really encourage us all to go ahead and go on mission, or even be a missionary in our communities. And I have to say, in my head, this part of being a missionary is bigger than all the others because of what happened to my mum's friend. But equally, any time I've spoken to a missionary and I've said, what is it like being on mission? None of them have said, well, the key thing is that I'm facing danger every single day and I'm fighting for my life. Or, it's just so hard. It's not to say they're not in danger. It's not to say that it's not hard. But actually what they say is, it's amazing to see what God is doing. It's a privilege to serve God in this way. So whilst my perspective is quite skewed, they are seeing the fruits of their labours and they have a much more rounded perspective. I think this is where I need to realign myself with what God says the missionary task is. Because although Jesus does say there will be consequences, it will be hard, he also says don't worry because I'll provide. When you're brought before governors and kings and you're asked to give an account of the faith that you have in me, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And he says to them, doesn't he, don't take any gold or silver or copper in your belt. The workers are worth their wages. I'll provide for you. Don't worry about booking into an inn. There'll be someone worthy there who'll take you in. And you just think, well, they're going out amongst non-believers. Why would there be someone worthy there to take them in? Well, because God has provided. So when Jesus calls, he also equips. And whatever we face as part of the missionary task, Jesus has already made provision for. And of course, he knows that it's hard because he did it and it was hard for him. So I've tried to weave application in a little bit as I've gone the whole way through, but just to, as we think about wrapping up, I remember being told about a church who had a sign over its door that said, now entering the mission field. And I really liked that. It really stuck with me because it's completely true. Because whether I think of myself in that way or not, I'm a missionary. You're a missionary. All of us are missionaries. And every time we leave church and we go through the door into our communities, whatever situation it is, we are there as missionaries, as God's representative. And what we do with that is up to us. We can try and keep to what Jesus said. We can try and tell people about him. We can try and give of ourselves just as he's given to us. We can walk alongside them in their lives. And we can be prepared. Sometimes it'll be uncomfortable. Sometimes we might get ridiculed, teased, made fun of. You know, I'm sure we've all being called religios or Bible bashers or the rest of it. Well, I would argue it's probably not as bad as being flogged in the synagogue, but, you know, it's still not that much fun when you're going through it. But God will equip us. He promised that, so we can have confidence. And so, as I come to the end of my talk, I'll share a little bit more about my mum's friend, Sandra, with you. As I said, it was 40 years ago this year since she and her husband and her two children died. And as part of the anniversary of the death, they had a performing arts type play at the Elam Church in Huddersfield, and then they had a speaker. And what I'd never realised was that of the people that came and murdered the missionaries, and I think there were quite a lot of people, it was a big gang, but seven of them ultimately were so inspired by the faith of these missionaries at the most dangerous time for them that they ultimately gave their lives to Christ and were saved. A lot of the students in their school went on to become great men of God. There was a couple who lived in a house at the bottom of the mountain who were Christians and understandably fled after what happened to the missionaries, but were inspired by their story and set up a church elsewhere in Rhodesia. So, Sandra and Peter and her children and all the other missionaries have a very different perspective to their mission, to what I had. And also, their bodies died on that mountain, but that isn't really the end of their story, because we believe, all of us, that they're in heaven, that they've fulfilled their task, they've completed what God had sent them to do, they've run the race, and they have the prize at the end. Signed with a quote from Jim Elliot, the great American missionary, who said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose."